is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Imagine you're sitting in your living room watching the Red Sox or the nightly news, maybe even Desperate Housewives, when this comes on the screen.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Well, that was an ad from Catholics Come Home, a Georgia-based nonprofit of laypeople who say similar ads have helped bring 200,000 lapsed Catholics back into the church in cities across the country. Catholics Come Home has partnered with the Boston Archdiocese, and the commercials will be airing in the Boston area next spring during Lent. Mass attendance here has dropped almost 25% in the past decade. That, of course, was the decade that witnessed the ongoing aftermath of the clergy sex abuse crisis. So can a good faith PR campaign truly reach area lapsed Catholics? And listeners, are you one of them? Are you a lapsed Catholic? What drove you away and what could bring you back? Do you think this new media campaign is the right way to go? Or do you think the bigger PR campaign is the one that some say emerges from the Vatican, the one of papal edicts, decisions, and perhaps even denials of the wishes of many lapsed Catholics? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also, as always, comment online at WBUR.org/Boston. Well, joining us now is Tom Peterson. He is president and founder of Catholics Come Home. It is that lay group that's sponsoring or created these ads that will be airing in the Boston area next spring. Tom Peterson, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you.
True pleasure to have you. And I'd also like to welcome Stephen Pope. He is professor of theology at Boston College and author of many books on Catholicism, including Common Calling, The Laity and the Governance of the Church, and Evolution and Christian Ethics. Stephen Pope, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, Tom Peterson, let me start with you. We just heard a little bit of that, one of the ads, one of the three, I believe, that will be airing in Boston next spring. Can you tell us, take us back to what the origin of Catholics Come Home was and how it came to be?
Sure. I had a kind of an epiphany, an awakening in my faith about 13 years ago when I went on a men's retreat from my parish when I lived in Arizona. And I suddenly understood things I didn't know about my faith before, how much God loves us, how plentiful His mercy is for us, how much faith can help our family and change our lives for the better. And I suddenly understood that and then sought what God's plan was for my life.
Mm-hmm. So you, I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson, I just want to be clear. You yourself hadn't left the church per se, but you just had sort of a strong reawakening.
You know, you would see me at Mass every week, but I would daydream. I would probably go just out of obligation. So I was there physically, but spiritually and mentally I was absent.
Mm-hmm. And then, so you went on, and you have a background in marketing, is that correct?
I'm an advertising guy by background, so God gave me these talents and interests in advertising, and, you know, it kind of makes sense when He calls us to serve other people and to help the church with the talents and interests He's gifted us with.
Okay, so then you go on to found CatholicsComeHome.org, and these ads and a companion website, I believe, have been actually shown in about a dozen cities across the United States. Phoenix, Seattle, I see, Corpus Christi in Texas.
Providence, Rhode Island.
Green Bay,
Chicago.
Omaha. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What has the impact been in some of those places?
Well, the average Mass attendance has increased 12%. And, you know, amazingly, you would think that some people who, you know, just got out of the habit of going to Mass, which is 90% of what we're hearing. You know, parishes have asked folks, well, you know, why did you leave the church? And they said, well, I didn't really have a bone to pick or a beef. And I'm sure some people do. But the vast majority, about 90% we're hearing, said, I just kind of got out of the habit and drifted away. And then we asked the next question, or at least the parishes have, and they said, well, why did you come home? And they said, because you had an invitation that that reminded me that I need to focus on God and how important that Jesus and the church are for my family. And, hey, thanks for inviting me back. I'm glad I'm part of the family again.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Pope, I want to get to you in just a minute, but I've got another just a quick question or two for Tom Peterson here. Mr. Peterson, when you first designed these ads, I mean, I watched them online today. They are very high production value. Some of them are pretty long. They're a minute, even 2 minutes. So I guess, first of all, how did you decide who to target these ads towards? Because Catholicism is quite a diverse group of people. And second of all, where are you running them? A 2 minute ad buy on television is quite expensive.
The answer is that, you know, there is no defined target. That the good news of Jesus and the church is for everybody. And so whether you're young or old, a Catholic or a non-Catholic, the messages are universal in their appeal that God loves us and has a plan for our lives, and we need to work together to help each other and help love each other to heaven. In terms of the length, some of the ads are 30 seconds. The longest ones are 2 minutes because they're more complex topics. And we hear three things from people. That we hear that I felt like God was personally inviting me home, and most people rush to confession or mass. And in terms of the expense, hey, we need to give our best efforts toward God and toward our brothers and sisters in the world, and to do good things for the world. And that's what the church has done for 2,000 years, to build the university systems and education, charities and hospitals. And these ads are merely sharing that good news with the world.
Mm-hmm. So how much is it costing the Boston Archdiocese to run these, or will it cost the Boston Archdiocese to run these ads next year?
Most dioceses and archdioceses don't take money out of their coffers. We bring this message to family, friends, relatives, and neighbors in the pews, and parishioners say, that sounds good. I was away from church, or I've got a loved one who's away. I'd like to share this. And a lot of people pitch in. In Seattle, I think 7,000 Catholic people said, this is a good idea. I'd like to be part of this. Boston is in the infancy. We haven't made the final details or plans yet, so we don't know the budget. But, it's the bottom line is, for less than $2 a soul, people are returning to the church, and we're hearing wonderful stories how blessed they are to come back to the sacraments like the Eucharist and reconciliation, and how glad they are to be home and part of the Catholic family again.
But I'm not hearing a specific answer on who's paying for it. You say it's in part church members themselves who may be putting forth money, and the diocese doesn't put forth any money at all?
Well generally, church members are part of the diocese,
yeah.
Diocese doesn't have money if the church members don't contribute. So generally around the country, and all the dioceses that we partner with, we run the ads, and they obviously, as parishes, welcome folks home. It's a collaborative effort between people in the pews who say it's a good idea,
mm-hmm.
and the welcoming efforts of the parishes, and the blessing of the bishop or cardinal in the area, and we work together on it to welcome them home. And the money raised is generally what it costs for the television ads to get the good news out there.
Tom Peterson, one last question for you on the sort of design of these ads and the effectiveness that you hope and the diocese hopes will have here in the Boston area. I mean, obviously, as I more than hinted, directly stated in the interview, in the introduction, of course, this is the place, Boston, that was ground zero for the clergy sex abuse crisis, which is still sort of roiling worldwide. So in your conversations with officials at the Boston Archdiocese, was there any thought to perhaps specifying or changing or altering the ad campaign to address that? Because it's very much in the forefront of the minds of lapsed Catholics here in Massachusetts.
You know, the universal message about God's love and the body of Christ can offer and how we can help each other is critical. Our hearts go out to anybody who has an issue or has been wounded, and we certainly pray for all those people, and we pray for the conversion of hearts of people who are not living a Christ-like life. But Catholics Come Home as a lay initiative. These commercials have aired, across the country in big places like Chicago and smaller places like Corpus Christi and local places like Providence. And even in areas that may have some local, differences, the messages are pretty universal. Now, once those invitations are made, if people have specific questions or challenges in a certain geography or specifically an issue like you're talking about, we would think that the folks at the parish level can address those issues as people have questions, as they call in, or as they come home to break those things
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm. Tom Peterson, stand by for just just a moment. Stephen Pope, professor of theology at Boston College, thank you for your patience here. If I could turn to you, I mean, the first question that comes to my mind is that the numbers in the Boston Archdiocese are pretty grim. I mean, a 25% drop in mass attendance in the past 10 years. We also know that there are financial difficulties among several parishes in the Boston area. So your take on, your top line take on the potential effectiveness of a television ad campaign to bring Catholics back into Boston churches.
Well, thanks. First of all, I want to say $2 a soul is a pretty good deal.
that's a return
today.
Yeah, a return that many businessmen would be salivating over.
Right. So the question would so many questions coming out of this initiative, which I think is very interesting. The question about getting people in the pews is great. To expose people to another way of thinking about the church is important. In fact, the main way most Catholics are exposed to the church and encounter church leaders is through the media, and their opinions about the church and about the faith are formed primarily by the media. Most Catholics don't go to Catholic schools. Most do not go to church every Sunday. So to try to turn that around and inform people is a great idea. But there's always a danger that advertising can be regarded as just another spin, and it can contribute to disenchantment rather than dispel disenchantment. The real question is, what are going to be the long-term effects of an advertising campaign, and how is it really going to be followed up?
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly you can get more people to buy toilet paper. That doesn't really mean they're going to have a major change in their lives. So the question is, how do you convert interest or exposure to long-term commitment? And I think one thing the ad really doesn't deal with, or the initiative, as I understand it from reading the literature, it doesn't really deal with the problems people have with the substance of the church right now.
Mm-hmm.
People left, right, and center who are students of the church and scholars of the church describe the church as in a crisis and that there's a pervasive problem of corruption. And so the least satisfying part of the ad is that it doesn't acknowledge that people have genuine struggles with their faith commitment, and that they identify these with the policies and practices of the Catholic Church.
Stephen Pope, this is exactly the thing I was wondering about, because while I watch the ads, and as Tom Peterson of CatholicsComeHome.org described, you know, one of them really does go through of all the great achievements of Catholicism over time, including all the charitable works, the hospitals, the missionary outreach, etc. All true. But on the other hand, you know, you turn around and you read in the newspaper just this month, the Vatican comes out with a new set of rules on the clergy sex abuse crisis that say, you know, we want to make it faster for potential clergy to be prosecuted, but the Vatican isn't going to move as fast as many people have called for. Then in that same edict, they basically put the ordination of women and pedophilia up as equally weighted sins. So these are two completely different versions of the Catholic Church, two competing messages that seem to be a universe apart.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of misunderstanding, too, that, you know, gets communicated through the popular press, because the disciplinary document that just came out that put women's ordination, bishops who ordain women in the same document as priests guilty of pedophilia, has been, it's a bad document. It was made worse in some ways by the way it was interpreted in the popular press.
Yeah, but I think
the big question is, how do people deal with the vast gap between the teachings of the church and its actual practice on the daily level with the way it's being exposed in the press? Now, there are two sides to this. One is that the press exaggerates and focuses exclusively on negatives, so it can give a very distorted view,
mm-hmm.
and that's the point that the Vatican stresses. On the other side, there are really deep systematic problems that even the Pope now recognizes. In a recent speech, he said that the biggest problem we have is the sin in the church. Not the sin outside the church, against the church, but the sin of Catholics in the church. And there's also a recognition from the American bishops that there are structural problems in the church and not just a few rotten apples.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how do we address the biggest problem in the church? By the church, I mean both Catholics that are practicing and those not practicing, which is the crisis of trust. And the crisis of trust, to my mind, has two dimensions. One is that there are people over 35 or so, who were raised in the Catholic Church, went to Catholic schools, and were from pious families. They have a huge problem of being disappointed in the church and really disenchanted. They have a problem of
believing that what they were taught was not really what the church was really believing inside, the institutional officers of the church, the priests and the bishops. People under 30 have a different kind of problem because they're raised in a much more secular culture, and their approach tends to be disengagement.
Mm-hmm.
They're not outraged at the church. Their concern is more, who cares? Why do you bother with this?
They're just disinterested entirely.
They're disinterested.
Yeah.
It's like TV. If you don't like the channel, just flip the channel.
Stephen Pope,
younger people tend to focus on this. And they're both problems of trust, though.
I'm sorry to interrupt there, but we actually have a number of people who would love to join us in this conversation. I'd like to invite them in. Maura is calling from Arlington. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. When I heard the topic, I had to call. It's the first time I've ever called a talk show. It's something that I've struggled with. Professor Pope, is it?
Yes.
You've hit the nail on the head of many things that I was charged up to say. But because there is a lack of trust. And for me, I went to Catholic schools. I taught in Catholic schools. I was a Jesuit volunteer. And constantly trying to stay involved in the church to find, disappointment after disappointment. And the sex scandal was like the final nail in the coffin. But before that, I kept going to church and seeing, why are women not full participants here? Why would the church allow married men from different religions to become priests and not women who are willing to become celibate and become priests? All these factors that I think are the biggest sins are this arrogance and sexism, the arrogance with the sex abuse cases and the sexism that pervades. I can't take my children to church because I don't want to give them the message that it's okay for an institution to ignore 50% of the population.
Maura, thank you so much for your call. We've got a lot of other people who also want to join us, and I should say online, Jan D. has commented that when Cardinal Law is walked off a plane and the jail door closes behind him, my family and I will go back to church, not a minute before. So she's not very receptive to the idea of a ad campaign on behalf of the Catholic Church. Rich is calling from Sudbury. Welcome to Radio Boston, Rich.
Hi. I was telling your producer, I was born and raised an Episcopalian, and in 1971, mainly influenced by both the changes in the Catholic Church in Vatican II and by a wonderful Jesuit chaplain in the Army when I was serving with in Vietnam, I became a Catholic, and I raised my kids in the Catholic Church. I was a lay Eucharistic minister in the Catholic Church, however, as time went on, over the past few years, I found that openness of Vatican II fading away to a much more authoritarian aspect within the church, and ran into several priests who were basically saying, I know what I'm doing, shut up, you can't question me, I'm a priest. And what it ended up doing is I'm now a very happy Episcopalian again.
Rich, thank you so much for your call. I want to sneak in another one in here. Andrew is calling from Jamaica Plain. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm 30 years old, so I'm right on the cusp of what Professor was actually just, the demographics that he was just giving. I grew up on the South Shore going to church my whole life up until about 5 years ago. Became a little bit disillusioned during the reconfiguration due to some specific things that were happening at the church that I was attending. But I'd like to say that I think that I haven't seen the ads, by the way, I should say. But I see these this attempt as well intentioned, and I appreciate it for what it is. But I really think that the solution is something different, which is to do what I was just beginning to experience. And appreciate before I left the church or before I stopped attending, which was to invest in really dynamic priests and pastors, because that's what I had, who can do just that. We talked about disengagement, or I heard that mentioned, who can engage and not really not so much of the kind of fluffy stuff I feel like I grew up listening to and falling asleep to in church when I was a kid.
Andrew, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but thank you so much for your call, because you've brought up a really good point about engagement and long-term lasting impact in the lives of Catholics as well. And before I turn back to our guests, I want to get another comment here. Steve is commenting online at WBUR.org, and he says the abuse scandal in Boston simply fast-tracked what is happening on a widespread basis in institutional Christianity nationwide. Like other denominations, the Catholic Church needs radical reform or it will die. A marketing campaign will do nothing to bring people back who have deep-seated doubts. So Tom Peterson of CatholicsComeHome.org, you are the driving force behind this advertising campaign that will be coming to Boston in the fall. You hear the concerns of people who are passionate about their faith but equally passionate that ads just aren't enough to bring them back. How do you respond to them?
Well, we praise God for this dialogue. You know, one wonderful thing is to be able to talk about faith, share faith, and dialogue on it. But it's, you know, I want to correct a misnomer here. This is not a marketing campaign. It's not a media campaign. It's not a PR campaign. The reason I was called to do this, it's not my idea. It's the Holy Spirit says, you know, you put the good news of Jesus and the church out there to the world. Our mission is to evangelize. Mm-hmm. This is an evangelization campaign. The world is a very busy place. We've got a lot of distractions in our life, a lot of things going on, and we're hearing this from the vast majority of the people that, yeah, you know, all of us can have opinions and issues on things. But rather than criticize priests, you know, many of them are noble, great guys that Steve works with that you and I have seen, and I've met, you know, hundreds and hundreds of wonderful holy priests around the world, mm-hmm. who give their all in hospitals and nursing homes and military chaplains, you know, putting their selves on the line late at night, you know, helping and serving, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them to be good shepherds. We need to pray for them in this challenge. But, you know,
Tom Peterson, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but because we've just got 50 seconds to go, but you mentioned evangelizing, and Cardinal Sean O'Malley, in fact, blogged just about this exactly. He said, evangelizing and sharing faith with others is what I can do, and he talked about this new outreach on television that's coming to Boston, and he seems very positive about it. Stephen Pope, we got 30 seconds left, so I'm sorry to squeeze you in here, I want to get a last answer from you. Is this at least a positive step forward in the Boston Diocese's recognition that they need to do something to bring people back into the pews?
It's positive, but I think we need to recognize that the first place to evangelize is within the church and within the leadership of the church. If they're going to give a credible witness to Christ, which is really the whole point of all of this.
Stephen Pope, professor of theology at Boston College, thank you so much for being with us today. And Tom Peterson, president and founder of Catholics Come Home, a lay Catholic group based in Roswell, Georgia, thank you so much for joining us as well. There's more when we come back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.